What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, March 28th, 2023, and it's another very, very busy news day. We've got a lot to talk about before we open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Julie is in our control room taking care of business, and unfortunately, before we get into the news, I do need to share something with all the listeners, and it's regarding our good friend and fellow RBN host, Steve Elkins. Yesterday, I had simply said he was under the weather, which is why he didn't take the intel report. And I'm sorry to have to tell you it's a little more serious than that. Steve went into the hospital over the weekend, and it was discovered he has colon cancer. He's going into surgery on Thursday, and the biopsy came back saying it's malignant. So, you know, he's in serious kind of shape right now. But he's very positive. He insists he's going to get back here at some point. And, you know, I'm willing to bet money on his coming back. But he sends his apologies to everybody for not being able to do his shows in the immediate future. And thanks you for your support and your prayers and so forth and so on. And, you know, it's a little tough. Steve and I were really good friends. All right, well, with that unpleasant task out of the way. Oh, and Steve said, you know, please continue to support RBN and this show and the rest of it. Anyway, now that that's out of the way here, let's talk about that Nashville shooting, because everybody is trying to politicize it and take advantage of it. The White House is already out there blaming Republicans. You know, you wouldn't let us take away the guns here. And Karine Jean-Pierre was out there saying, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. No, actually, it isn't. Karine, you need to understand something. Mentally ill people, and this liberal 28-year-old transgender is one, okay, do not obey gun laws. They do bad things, okay? And another contributing factor to this tragedy is that the Nashville Christian School had no armed resource officers. They, you know, supposedly they had a plan to deal with a shooting incident, but whether it was even activated or not, nobody knows. But nobody was there on the school who could return fire. They had to wait for the Nashville police, who, it should be pointed out, responded a lot faster than the police did down in Uvalde. Okay, I mean, they were there, Johnny on the spot, and took care of business here. Now, as usual with these kinds of mental illness situations, there were warning signs, and apparently this shooter sent some text messages to a friend before she headed on over to the school. One message said, I'm planning to die today. This is not a joke. You'll probably hear about me on the news after I die. And so the messages show that the recipient pled with the shooter, biological female who claimed to be a man, telling her she had much to live for, but the killer's text got even more chilling. The recipient did call the authorities and said there's something going down here, but it was not quick enough to intervene here. Now, Nashville Police Chief John Drake has confirmed that Audrey Elizabeth Hale was under a doctor's care. Okay, so she was on psychoactive medication along with whatever gender-bending chemicals that they had here. So, let's see. The body cam footage from the two officers who finally took out the shooter has been released. It's all over the net, and you can see it. And clearly, it does show these police just acting expeditiously. They go in, they go through the halls, up the stairs, they confront the shooter, and they kill her. So anyway, more information coming out of the D.C. Inquirer. This was a planned operation. It was calculated and planned. Doesn't look like any individuals at the school were targeted. The school itself was the target. And apparently, they found the police found writings from Hale along with this manifesto at her apartment, which we're going to get to. Meanwhile, the lefties are out there screaming about the fact that the transgender shooter has been misgendered in the news report, okay? And some leftists have reacted to this horrific killing of children at this Christian school in Nashville by a transgender-identified culprit by complaining the killer was being misgendered. Yes, that's what's important to them. Forget about all the dead kids here. You know, thou shalt not misgender somebody, you know, and it's all over Twitter. I mean, the trans activists are more upset over the mass murder being misgendered than the actual shooting itself here. Now, of course, the fact that the shooter was a transgender is kind of, you know, messing up the official narrative of guns are bad. And everyone's beginning to look at this girl, he, she, it, as a bit of a kook. Okay. And, you know, they're trying to make this fit the narrative of anti-gun. But in this case, we have a person, an individual who pulled the trigger, and they are the ones who should have been under control here. Apparently, the Nashville shooter left a message in the manifesto: "You mess with our kids, we kill your kids." And this appears to have been a response to the fact that Tennessee just recently passed a law banning gender-affirming care for transgender youth, okay? And somebody else has also noticed a bit of a pattern here. We've had now four transsexual mass shooters in less than 5 years. When it comes to mass shootings, transsexuals statistically make up the largest group of them. Anyway, back in November of 2018, we had Snokia Mosley, a man who identified as a woman, wounded three and killed three after opening fire at his place of employment in Aberdeen, Maryland. In May of 2019, a Colorado woman who identified as male shot up a school, killing one and wounding eight. In November of 2022, a Colorado man who shot up a gay nightclub, killing five and wounding 18, was identified as transsexual. And, of course, this last Monday, we had 28-year-old Audrey Hale, a woman who identified as a man, entered this school with a firearm. She murdered three adult staffers and 3 9-year-old children. Okay, this is all in less than 5 years. And I think it's time to ask if this transgender indoctrination being forced onto people by the ultra-liberal left is actually driving people insane. Okay, and I'm not the only one who's asking that. There were a couple of articles, we just put them up at whatreallyhappened.com, saying that, transgender indoctrination may be driving people to hate themselves and want to kill themselves, and along the way take out some other people with them. So anyway, now, oddly enough, talk about forecasting what was going to happen. Back on the 24th, Tucker Carlson actually had a segment of his show saying that he was afraid that gun-toting trans people will start political violence. And unfortunately, in recent weeks, we have seen a very militant face of the transgender movement. They have this little logo, trans rights or else, and in between the words, there's a whole bunch of guns. There was a big Antifa transgender vengeance rally that's scheduled for this weekend that had been announced, pretty much the same time that Hale went to that school here. And, excuse me. Here's where we are in this crazy issue of guns and gun rights here. Liberals keep killing people, and they want to take the weapons away from us conservatives. Now, liberals are the ones who push for mental health background checks on gun owners, but they don't seem to see that there's a mental health issue when a woman believes she's a man. Okay, so it's a double standard. Now, remember when the parents at Sandy Hook won a lawsuit against the maker of the gun? Okay, I think the parents of every kid at that school should sue every single LGBT organization that called for violence in Tennessee okay? And they should be liable for basically creating the climate leading to this terrorist. Because that's exactly what it was. It goes beyond a hate crime to an act of terror. All right. Now, oddly enough, the mother of the shooter, okay, was a gun control activist. And she had been circulating petitions to keep guns out of schools. And I guess, obviously, the daughter did not share that conviction here. All righty, getting into other politics, the New York City grand jury investigating these junk charges on Donald Trump has reconvened today. No word if they're actually doing anything other than simply saying, well, you know, oh, we're afraid of the conservatives. And you remember the big dust-off when Speaker McCarthy gave Tucker Carlson the 40,000 hours of the unseen footage from the U.S. Capitol. Tucker Carlson broadcast some of it. Some of it's been leaked out from Fox News. McCarthy is now going to release those 40,000 hours of unseen footage directly to the public. You'll be able to download them and look at them yourself and see exactly what was going on. And the lie of the insurrection on January 6th stands exposed. Okay, over at BlabberBuzz, they have a story. As increasing evidence of the Biden family's financial ties to China come to light, Americans are urging Biden to address the significant and important connection. Now, on Mornings with Maria, Maslansky Plus Partners President Lee Carter expressed her concern, noting that the president's relationship with Beijing poses a major threat to the nation. And her comments follow Senator Ron Johnson's recent revelation that records from Cathay Bank, which is an American bank founded by Chinese Americans, matched those of the U.S. regulators. In other words, they've gotten confirmation about all this money that's been flowing to the Bidens. Okay, Senator Rand Paul had a staffer attacked, stabbed, and seriously injured. This happened last Saturday. The suspect has been arrested, and apparently there was a scuffle between the staffer, one other person with him, and the attacker, and they got the attacker on the ground, called for the police. The staffer had to go to the hospital. And what's really interesting is the gentleman with the knife who stabbed Rand Paul's staffer had only been released from prison the day before. He had been serving a 12-year sentence on something, and they released him, and then he goes on out, and he stabs the staffer. I don't know. Maybe he's institutionalized. Maybe he wanted to go back to prison. That does happen with people who are in prison too long. They get used to it. They don't have to worry about where their food's coming, you know, where they're sleeping, roof over their head. You know, it's, you know, a lot of homeless people will deliberately commit a crime and then just sit down and wait to be arrested because it gets them off the street. Okay, James O'Keefe is back in action, and his new media group is getting ready to drop a new video exposing a vast network of Democrat donation harvesters. Now, apparently, they have been caught in actual criminal acts, and they're saying this will be released tomorrow, Wednesday. And criminality in our government is just out of control. Okay, now, they're still debating TikTok. There's a bill that they're putting together to ban TikTok. And as usual, there's a lot of goes-withness, and people are very concerned that it weakens the public's access to encryption. And again, gives the government a key into all your private transactions, which you can always write your own encryption. I wrote an article on that. Rivero challenges the NSA. And so I'll repost that on the website so you can look at that. And apparently, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has been defending TikTok, saying, you know, this is just another, you know, social media platform. It's no big deal. And it turns out that there were some donations from TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, donating six-figure sums to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Foundation and the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation last December. Okay? And basically, according to Fox News, Xu Chu, the CEO of TikTok's parent company, testified before the Congressional House Energy and Commerce Committee last Thursday on the degree to which the company puts users' personal data into the hands of the Chinese Communist Party. And then Ocasio-Cortez took to her TikTok platform to defend the social media giant. So that's where that's going. Now, there was an article that came out of Blacklisted News, and it's talking about the very strange behavior of the Department of Justice following the supposed death of Jeffrey Epstein, who committed suicide in his jail cell while the cameras watching him were conveniently turned off and the guards had failed to make their rounds, blah, 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 blah. And they're talking about, this article's talking about somebody, you know, Epstein's brother, trying to get information as exactly what happened. It's been 3 years, and nobody knows exactly how Epstein died. And Mark Epstein said that he's been unable to obtain medical records, including the care reports filled out by the EMTs who supposedly evaluated his brother's corpse. And the public hasn't gotten answers. Epstein flew at the heights of power, consorting with presidents and princes while he was also abusing the girls. And his death at the custody of Bureau of Prisons was one of the most shocking failures of federal law enforcement. How could the Justice Department just let this slip away? And again, more than 3 years later, the Justice Department's Office of Inspector General still has not released its report into the circumstances of Epstein's death. Personally, I think Epstein is probably still alive somewhere. Maybe he's down in the Caymans playing canasta with Ken Lay. Oops, excuse me. All right, let's get into COVID. There's a lot going on there. This is a story coming out of Global Research in California. And it's been news in 2021, 2022, and 2023. People around the world are dying in ever greater numbers, even though the pandemic is winding down. And this is the opposite of what was expected, since COVID-19 mortality was largely in the elderly and those with many medical problems. The viral illness should have had a culling effect, getting rid of the weak, leaving 2022 and now 2023 to have decreased mortality. But they're counting all-cause mortality and noticing there is a sharp upward trend. And according to this article, they're saying this mortality is not occurring just among the elderly. It's striking down young people. And Edward Dowd's book, Cause Unknown, the Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022, numerous sources of insurance data are cited suggesting death claims among working-age persons are, in fact, skyrocketing. Now, Erstad et al. Have published an ecological analysis demonstrating that deaths tracked with increased COVID-19 vaccination rates. In other words, there's a correlation. But the authors do point out these observations are not conclusive, that the vaccines all by themselves are responsible for the alarming trend. There may be something else going on. Okay, do you remember the Pussycat Dolls? It was a girl group, you know, doing music and videos and stuff. One of the girls is named Jessica Sutter, and she has released a video, which is linked to whatreallyhappened.com, talking about how she was severely injured by the Moderna vaccine. Okay. And the Daily Mail, there's another article. Oh, sorry about that. We got to take a break for commercials.
We'll be right back. standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of
And welcome back to our show here, and a quick little update. We just saw the grand jury in New York will not be looking at the Trump Stormy Daniels case this week. They've got other things to look at, and apparently it'll at least be next week before anything happens there. Personally, to me, it looks like it's fizzling. Anyway, getting on back to COVID and the COVID vaccines. There is a story in the Daily Mail saying that certain COVID vaccines might triple the risk of sudden cardiac death in women under 30. This is according to official United Kingdom data revealed today. And it's a bad product, okay? It absolutely is. The pharmaceutical companies messed up. They were playing with this brand new technology and said, oh, gee, let's go have fun with this. We have that article out of The Lancet saying that you are more likely to get COVID if you've had one of these shots. Now we have all these other stories about how the COVID vaccines are contributing to your deterioration of health, your immune system, and so forth. And yet, this is the biggest medical screw-up since thalidomide. It really, really is. And everybody's making money, and so they're very happy just continuing to push this on because money is more important than people. All right, now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the Children's Health Defense Fund have sued President Biden, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and other top administration officials, claiming they waged a systematic, concerted campaign to compel the nation's three largest social media companies to censor constitutionally protected speech. Yes, they did exactly that. Now, Kennedy, Children's Health Defense, and Connie Sampagnaro filed the complaint with the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Louisiana, Monroe Division, on behalf of all the more than 80% of Americans who access news from online news aggregators and social media companies, principally Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. So, yeah, let's take them to court here. Now, meanwhile, Jim Jordan, who's the chair for the Judiciary Committee, is reportedly building a case against Dr. Anthony Fauci for lying to Congress. Okay, they've got him dead to rights in a lie. And, Dr. Fauci said, I had no idea of funding of gain of function research. I don't know anything about it. And they have the documents that he lied. He was involved in the funding of the gain of function research, and he knew exactly what it was doing. And Jim Jordan is citing 18 U.S. Code 1001, which makes it a prison offense to lie to Congress. So Anthony may be heading for the Gray Bar Hotel. Okay, now this next part is going to explain why, even with the obvious bad products and zero results, they keep pushing the shots and pushing the shots and pushing the shots. This is being reported over at Zero Hedge. Okay, the U.S. government has released the licensing agreement it hammered out with vaccine manufacturer Moderna. And it turns out Moderna would pay the National Institutes of Health a royalty for every shot that was put on out there. They paid one lump sum of $400 million, and then the company would pay low single-digit royalties on future sales of its COVID-19 vaccines. The exact amount of that is redacted in the report. So the NIH was getting a piece of the action, you know, like the Mafia Don. We get a piece of the action here. And that's why they keep pushing these shots, despite the lack of efficacy and the demonstrated harm. They're all getting rich off of this stuff. They think it's really good. All right, getting on back to cover-ups and deceptions, article out of Blacklisted News. We all know that the powers that be got on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Google to silence vaccine skepticism, but apparently the White House tried to censor private messages on WhatsApp about vaccine skepticism. Apparently they set up computer programs that were monitoring the traffic just between two people. And if you were saying bad things about the vaccines, the message would be blocked. Okay. And I remember, YouTube, I had this video, What Are They Thinking?, which was generally about the environment and safety. And it does mention vaccines, and YouTube's now blocked that one. So, you can't see the message. And it's all a violation of the First Amendment. And, okay, so that is COVID. Everybody's trying to cover up. Everybody's trying to make money. And it's all about the Benjamins. And they didn't care if they hurt the American people or not, or the people of the world. Okay, it was just, it's all about the Benjamins. And I'm disgusted. I am really disgusted with a society in which this is seen as somehow acceptable. Anyway, we've got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be back after these few minutes.
True. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together instead of on a computer alone.
And welcome back to our show here. We're going to talk about the international news now. Once again, American politicians are pushing to escalate the situation in Ukraine. Various lawmakers, Republican senators, are formally asking the U.S. government to send cluster munitions to Ukraine. And cluster munitions are very dangerous to civilians and non-combatants. Basically, a cluster bomb is a big outer bomb that holds dozens and dozens of little tiny submunitions inside, and it just basically spreads them all over a wide area of ground. And not all of them detonate on impact, and so they sort of act like landmines. You can stumble across them. You know, somebody picks it up, thinks it's a toy, takes a hand off. And so that's what they want to send into Ukraine, like those poor people have not suffered enough already. Meanwhile, the Ukrainian military has received 18 Leopard 2 main battle tanks from Germany. And Kiev has already taken delivery of the tanks from Poland, but Western analysts say it will need several more times that amount to make a significant impact on the battlefield. Yeah, 18 is impressive in a parade, really not all that much on a battlefield here. Meanwhile, despite the fact that Poland initially intended to transfer 28 of their MiG-29 fighters to Ukraine, apparently that is now off due to the lack of coordination of such actions with Germany. And so they're only going to transfer 20 of the aircraft. And actually now they're talking about completely canceling the deal. And apparently the reason was a disagreement on compensation to Warsaw for such supplies from NATO. So everybody's expecting, you know, give freely, give freely. No, no, no. You want our old weapons, you're going to pay us for them. Apparently there was a breakdown there. All right. Now, the United Nations has issued a rare condemnation against President Zelensky's government. Apparently, they have been targeting the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, seizing their churches, evicting the monks, basically shutting them down. And I don't know why Zelensky thinks this is a really good idea. But the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights said it is concerned that the state's activities targeting the Ukrainian Orthodox Church could be discriminatory, and that he should cut it out. And I don't think that's going to happen here. All righty. Now, the Ukraine war is now part of the 2024 U.S. presidential election. Okay, and you know, I'm tired of this nonstop ongoing campaign. As soon as one election is over, they start campaigning for the next one. A lot of nations actually have laws saying that political campaigns can only operate for so many months before the election. And the rest of the time, everybody gets to take a break from it, gets to breathe and relax and so forth. Anyway, getting on back to this story. You know, there's this growing anti-interventionist sentiment among grassroots conservatives and libertarians, not to mention ordinary American citizens like you and I. And apparently, you know, they're becoming quite angry about this war. And it got worse when Tucker Carlson asked likely GOP presidential candidates for their positions on the cruel war steeped in the blood of Ukrainian proxies. And then he posted their replies on Twitter. There were only two candidates who opposed the war, Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. Everybody else was like, yes, hey, let's go have fun. You go. I'll have the fun. Now, we're coming up on the second summit for democracy, which is going to be a virtual meeting under U.S. auspices toward the end of this week here. And the U.S. is already trying to include strong anti-Russian language in their statements. So they're piling on there, you know, making stink face at Russia, so forth and so on. Meanwhile, Germany is going to expel 30 Russian diplomats out of concern of Russian espionage taking place. And so they're going to be headed back home. Now, over at the UN Security Council, there was a motion put forward by Russia to have an international investigation of the Nord Stream pipeline destruction. It was naturally vetoed by the United States. And that didn't really surprise anybody. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said the truth about Nord Stream will come out. Personally, I think it's out. Okay. And it's pretty obvious who benefited from all of this here. Meanwhile, you know, they're toting up the money already. The World Bank has said that the reconstruction of Ukraine, even though the war is not over yet, will cost at least $411 billion with a B over the next 10 years. And they say as the war drags on, that number will increase. And of course, the bankers are perfectly happy about this. First of all, they loan you the money to fight a war and blow up everything. And then when the war is all over, they loan you more money to rebuild what you had before the war. That's how the scam works. Okay. Now, down in Afghanistan, I guess just to annoy us, the Taliban has released video of fields of U.S. military vehicles, piles of high-end weapons, and a room filled with stacks of $100 bills that were left behind when Joe Biden pulled out of Afghanistan. And, you know, experts are saying you should have destroyed it all, you know, or at least taken a match to those $100 bills here. But apparently the Taliban has put all of this equipment back in good working order, which means the Taliban are now a strong military force, or they're now a new marketplace for somebody else to get these kind of weapons around the world. So all in all, that was a bad move. Total amount, $85 billion in military equipment to the Taliban, courtesy of you, the American taxpayer. Now, another article here talking about Syria. This is coming out of Global Research. And it's talking about the recent flare-up in Syria between the U.S. occupation forces and pro-Iranian militia groups. Now, Biden claims that the U.S. is reacting to provocations, but the signs are that likely the U.S. is trying to create new facts on the ground. And the U.S. Central Command claims that following a drone attack on March 23rd afternoon at an American base near Hasaka, at the direction of Joe Biden, retaliatory airstrikes were undertaken later that night against facilities used by groups affiliated with Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. However, this version has been disputed by the spokesman of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, who accused Washington of creating artificial crises and lies. Well, creating artificial crises and lies, that's what they do. You know that, you know, no surprise there. You know, ClimateGate, for example. Okay, over at the Libertarian Institute, they have an article, "Was the Iraq War the Biggest Con of the 21st Century?" And, yeah, it really, really was, because we were lied into it. You know, the Iraq War was created by a combination of political depravity and media complicity. We are now at the 20th anniversary of that war. And, you know, they're trying to rewrite the history about, you know, Saddam Hussein was this and bad and so forth and so on. And right after 9/11 happened, pollsters asked America who they thought had committed 9/11. Only 3% said it was Saddam Hussein. The propaganda machine cranked on up. And a February 2003 poll found that 72% of Americans believed that Saddam Hussein was personally involved in the September 11th attacks. And so in his official notification of invasion sent to Congress in lieu of a congressional declaration of war, this was on March 18th, 2003, Bush declared that he was attacking Iraq to take the necessary actions against international terrorists and terrorist organizations, including those nations, organizations, or persons who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11th, 2001. Okay? Now, Bush was tying Saddam to 9/11, even though the intelligence agencies were saying there was no evidence of a link there. And then 3 years after the war started, Bush publicly admitted on TV, it's on video, okay? He said Saddam had nothing to do with 9/11. You know, it's just one lie after the other, after the other, after the other, to get us to march off to war, sacrifice our children's lives, you know, just to make corporations and politicians richer than they already are. All right, now, down in Israel, things are heating up down there. Basically, Israel is kicking out Muslim worshipers from the Al-Aqsa Mosque. This is Ramadan, which is a very holy month to them. And the Palestinian Hamas resistance movement is saying this amounts to a religious war. They are abusing Muslims just for being Muslims. They haven't actually done anything other than want to, you know, follow their religion here. The protests against judicial reform are continuing. We're now getting into like 3 months this has been going on. Netanyahu is admitting that Israel is on the brink of civil war, and he's announced that he is postponing the judicial reform. He's not canceling it. He said, we're just going to delay it a little tiny bit. And apparently, Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir, who supported this delay, promising not to leave the government over Netanyahu's intention to postpone, is now in control of Israel's National Guard. And he's a real hardliner, and with that National Guard, he could do a lot of harm here. Anyway, the protesters themselves are saying the demonstrations are going to continue, okay, because a mere suspension or delay or postponement is not enough. They want this gone, and they recognize Netanyahu has not called off the judicial reform. He's just postponing in the hopes that everybody will go home and forget about it. I don't think it's going to happen. And the situation is so tense that the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem is telling Americans to leave Israel immediately, and even they are using the words possible civil war. All right. Now, Representative Matt Gaetz has introduced a war powers resolution, and among other things, it would direct President Biden to remove armed forces from Somalia. And the bill is co-sponsored by Representatives Paul Gosar and Anna Paulina Luna. And the resolution would mandate the removal of all U.S. armed forces from Somalia, with the exception of embassy security. And the resolution is privileged, meaning the House will have to vote on the measure within 18 days. Okay, I didn't even remember we were in Somalia. We have armed forces everywhere. Now, here's an interesting little article. It's from townhall.com, and it's addressing the issue of military recruitment, which is way, way down. And part of it is that young people are looking at the military and the wokeness and diversity and gender stuff, and they're really not happy about that. And there's also the fact that we are clearly headed for a major military phase of our history, and being in the military means that you could lose important bits of your body, and that's also discouraging recruiters. But this article is basically saying that Americans have stopped trusting the Pentagon with their lives. And it starts by saying, you know, U.S. veterans are looking back on years of service and wondering what the heck they did it for. Okay, they thought they were doing it for the USA. But if you look at the disaster that is our country and our culture, you just want to go beat your head against a tree someplace. Okay. And so the Pentagon can't meet its recruiting goals. And, of course, the fault is young people for being unwilling to sacrifice the time and their lives in support of these bizarre social pathologies that our ruling class embraces. Nobody wants to go to war, you know, for transgenderism or LGBTQ. You know, they go to war for America, and America has changed so drastically. Most people don't recognize it. I certainly don't. Now, the Army is so desperate for recruits, they've come up with a little ribbon. You know, all these little ribbons they put on your chest. They've got a ribbon for pretty much everything now. And, you know, it's kind of going the way of the old Soviet Union. There was a decoration for everything, and you had just a chest full of whatever. And so now the Army has unveiled a ribbon that will be awarded to soldiers who bring a friend into the recruiting office. And if that friend signs the contract, then the first soldier gets a little ribbon on their chest here. A little bit of an incentive there. I don't know how well it's going to work here. Meanwhile, the United States Air Force has purchased 1,500 Stormbreaker air-to-surface smart munitions. This will be done out in Tucson, Arizona, the work, and it's Raytheon. It's another Raytheon. Meanwhile, Lockheed Martin has won a $474 million, it's almost half a billion, Trident II missile deal from the United States and the United Kingdom. And so they're going to be supplying more of the Trident II submarine-launched ballistic missiles to the Navy. Okay, now the Senate on Monday cleared a final procedural hurdle toward repealing the two authorizations for the use of military force that were basically carte blanche for previous presidents to say, we're going to invade here, and we're going to invade here. And there was the 1991 authorization for Kuwait and the 2002 authorization for the use of military force that paved the way for the Iraq War. And 60 votes were required to advance the measure. So Congress is trying to take back its constitutional authority to decide when and where we go to war. Go back to that Constitution. The president never had the authority to declare war on another country. He has the authority for limited military action to deal with an emergency situation. But after 30 days, it goes to Congress, and Congress gets to say, yes, we'll continue, or bring our people home. We're going to take a break for commercials here, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
And welcome back to our show here, coming up on the top of the hour here. And let's get a little economic news in here. The BRICS has overtaken the G7 in terms of global gross domestic product. That is really significant. This is according to the India-based Meg Updates platform. And the BRICS countries have officially overtaken G7 in share of the world GDP, and this trend can be expected to continue. Now, BRICS currently includes Brazil, Russia, India, China, that's where they got the name, South Africa, while the G7 includes Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the United Kingdom, the United States, as well as the European Union. So that is a very significant development. Okay, on the downside, over at Investment Watch blog, it looks like Deutsche Bank is now in trouble, as was Credit Suisse last week, and they're predicting this could be the next Lehman Brothers moment. And the article says, hordes of small and mid-sized banks are now in trouble. That's bad news because those institutions issue most of the mortgages, auto loans, and credit cards that our economy runs on. And if they go down, it's really going to impact middle-class people around the world. Now, another story here, this is from Hal Turner, says, both CNN and Fox News have run stories about de-dollarization, which is the process by which countries outside the United States are starting to avoid using the dollar. Now, for, you know, years ago when we talked about de-dollarization, oh, you're a bunch of conspiracy theorists, you know, where's your tinfoil hat and so forth and so on. You know, they kept saying, you know, the dollar is sound. The dollar is the world's reserve currency. The world can't do without it. The world is, in fact, learning how to do without it. And, you know, there have been many global reserve currencies. The last one was the British pound sterling, and it had to surrender its position to the U.S. dollar at the Bretton Woods conference. So, yeah, all empires fall, and the dollar empire is definitely heading down, and that's going to mean a significant change to our economy that's probably not going to be very pleasant to deal with here. Now, over at the Wall Street Journal, they're getting a little bit more stern. They're saying the U.S. needs an economic regime change. And they're saying that, you know, history will give a full accounting of the grave errors committed in recent years in economic policy. A central lesson is already clear. Nothing is as expensive as free money. And we have been seeing that. They just keep on pumping out more and more instant money, and we pay the price through inflation. Over at the Mouse Place, Disney will begin to fire 7,000 of its global staff this week. This was announced by CEO Bob Iger. Shares in Disney plunged 31% in the year following all of these woke controversies. You know, get woke, go broke, definitely works here. All right, we got to take a break for station identification. We're going to open up the phone lines, 512-248-8252. We've got one caller waiting, and we'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.